can we do when our mind keeps returning to a topic? Maybe something that we're worried about, trying to analyze it but never getting anywhere, only causing us suffering. Welcome to Mindfulness for Beginners. Hello, my friend. I hope you're happy. I hope you're peaceful. Cead mille fáilte. It's your old pal, Sean. And big thanks to Nadine, who became a supporter of the podcast on Patreon. I want to say a big thanks to everyone who's supporting the podcast. We've got 37 patrons now. I'd like to get that up to 50. So if you have the means to support what I'm doing here, please do click the link in the description. And we had our second podcast meetup today, and it was great to see everyone there. We had a guided meditation. We had some introductions to find out about everyone. We had a Q&A and a bit of a silent sit together. It was really joyful, and definitely want to do that again in June. So if you're interested, click the link in the description. If you've already been to one, or if you're already on the mailing list for it, you don't need to do it again. You'll get the invite automatically. But if you haven't been before, then I would love to see you, and I'm pointing at the microphone, but it's meaning you, the listener. I'd like to see you at the next one, because it's fantastic to practice with all of you, and I really want to build the community around this podcast. Big thanks to PJ, who suggested today's topic on the Facebook page. You can by joining the group. That link is also in the description. A couple of years ago, I was visiting the London office of the organization that I work in. I used to live and work in London, so I tend to run into people that I know, and it's a great opportunity to catch up. The problem is that I have a very poor memory, and unless I spent a lot of time with you or something insane happened when we met, like a die-hard situation where terrorists take over the building, there is a high likelihood that I'm going to struggle to remember or even recognize you. I have epilepsy, and a poor memory is one of the challenges with it. If it happens with any of you, I'm really sorry. It doesn't mean you're not memorable and important. That day, I went through the security gates and stepped onto the lift. Another guy, younger than me, was already on, waiting to be elevated. He smiled at me. I thought, he's friendly. So I smiled back and went back to thinking about what I needed to do that day. How are you, Sean? Said the stranger. I froze, instantly understanding the situation, which is kryptonite for someone like me with social anxiety. I internally said the prayer of the Irish atheist. Please, God, help me. Please help me get out of this and I'll believe in you again. I had one chance, one backup plan designed for these situations. Let's just hope to Christ this works. Hey, man, I said, grinning broadly. How have you been? It's been a while. Great to see you. Man, it's been a while. Years, possibly. How have things been with you? What are you up to? What are you working on now? You don't remember me, do you? Said the stranger. My backup plan had failed, and we were in the worst case scenario, DEFCON 1. Most people, especially English people, are too polite to call me out on my blatant chicanery when the memory centres of my brain decide it's lunchtime. Not this guy. He had no qualms about creating a socially awkward situation in an enclosed space. I looked around the elevator. There was no escape hatch, a critical design flaw. If there had been one, I would have Spider-Man'd my way up and out of there and took my chances in a ventilation system. But I was caught and trapped. Time to face the music. I'm really sorry. I have a poor memory and I can't remember where I know you from. We talked about the project we'd worked together on before. I nodded, pretending to remember, but like a lot of my life, it had completely disappeared down a brain hole and for all intents and purposes, didn't exist anymore. I didn't say that though, I just smiled and nodded. Ah yes, of course. Until the world's slowest lift took me to my destination and I stepped off. I said goodbye. He seemed fine with it. I wasn't. My day was ruined, as I knew I'd be ruminating about it, turning it over and over again in my mind, struggling to concentrate on anything else. All of us have things that our mind locks onto and won't let go of. For me, it's situations where I feel I've made a mistake socially. Despite my anxiety and thanks to mindfulness, I've learned to handle most situations, even difficult ones. But there's still circumstances where I don't know what to do. And if I struggle to deal with it, I'm going to be brooding over it when I'm going to sleep that night and possibly for years afterwards. So I ruminate on the experience. Rumination is repetitive, excessive thoughts that interfere with our ability to concentrate. It tends to go hand in hand with anxiety disorders. It's stressful, and most of the time it magnifies the suffering that we experience from a situation. In theory, I could have let go as soon as I got off the lift and never thought about it again, I wish. Instead, almost all the suffering from the encounter has come from my reaction afterwards. But why do we ruminate, obsess, and turn things over in our mind? A psychologist might say that we feel helpless, coming from an inability to change the past. From the Buddhist perspective, I'd say that our suffering comes from our inability to accept reality. I've said many times in the podcast that union with reality is the path of happiness, and ultimately what mindfulness is. We need to accept reality, smile to reality, immerse ourselves in reality, even when it's difficult. When we ruminate, it's because we can't accept reality. I can't accept the reality of my poor memory or making a minor social faux pas, so I replay the situation in my mind like the world's worst highlight reel. Rumination can be hugely frustrating, but it's helpful to see the true nature of it. Your mind is a problem-solving machine. It doesn't want you to suffer, so it tries to find the answer to a difficult situation so you don't go through it again. It doesn't feel like it, but your mind is your friend and trying to help. Unfortunately, it gets stuck in an analytical loop that it can't solve, that causes more suffering, like the Buddhist metaphor of the second arrow. The first arrow is the situation, the second arrow is our reaction to it. And the second arrow is where most of our suffering comes from. So step one is to accept that we are ruminating rather than being swept away and living inside the story. Take a step back and see your mind trying to solve the puzzle. Smile to your mind and say, "Thank you, old friend." Take 20 minutes and focus on your breath. Breathing in. I know I am breathing in. Breathing out. I know I am breathing out. Your mind will want to return to what you were ruminating about. When it strays, notice the busyness, smile to it, label it as rumination, notice what feelings you have attached to it, could be anxiety, what physical feelings are also associated, and then allow the thought to leave and return to your breath. You may need to do this noticing and returning 100 times. That's fine. We're not aiming to have a clear mind when we meditate. We are accepting and enjoying our present experience, whatever that happens to be. And that's why we call mindfulness and meditation a training. It takes practice and persistence. Then, once you've allowed your mind to settle to a degree, you can take a step back from what you're obsessing about and contemplate why you're ruminating. Rather than trying to fruitlessly analyse the situation like a puzzle that needs to be solved, we can reflect on what it is that's triggering our rumination in the first place. The situation is not the difficulty we have. Our reaction to the situation is what requires our contemplation. So we can sit and direct our single-pointed awareness towards our thoughts. Taking a step back from our mind, what thoughts are surfacing when we ruminate? It could be unkind thoughts towards ourselves, like "I'm an idiot." It could be regret, "Why did that have to happen?" Or about uncertainty, "When will I know the answer?" Notice the thoughts and smile to them, accept them, difficult as they might be. Then we can look at our feelings, the type of situation we're ruminating about. What is it that we feel? It could be anger or fear or sadness. Notice what you can feel in your mind and where you can feel it in your body. and then consider what your beliefs are that drive your rumination. As I've mentioned before on the podcast, I have a belief that I'm being judged by others, and that negative judgment will lead to significant consequences. Forgetting who the guy in the lift was had, of course, zero consequences for me outside of my own fever brain. If you can surface a belief that drives your rumination, you're on the way to letting it go. And once you've given these beliefs that drive our rumination an airing, it's also helpful to have a framework of beliefs to replace it with. I can hear the more experienced practitioners say, "But Sean, in Buddhism we let go of our beliefs," which is true, of course. But there are a set of principles that underlie mindfulness that I find are hugely helpful for driving better behaviours in our mind's way of being. For example, I will choose to look at myself through the eyes of compassion, seeing the interconnected nature of all things. For example, forgetting people is actually a very common experience. Seeing the impermanent nature of reality, despite the fact that I've held on to it, that person, ironically, has probably forgotten about the encounter and didn't see it as a big deal. Rumination isn't easy to deal with. It can very easily sweep you away into an analytical loop. But with diligent practice, patience, and persistence, we can reduce the suffering it causes, train our mind to settle, and reduce the attachment we have to the things we ruminate about. So let's start that right now with a guided meditation on the mind. I'm going to start with three sounds of the bell and the usual settling in introduction. We're going to start, as we always do, by applying our beginner's mind to our posture. So I would invite you to imagine that you have a thread attached to the crown of your head, and it's gently pulling you upwards into an upright position, your spine like a stack of coins, your heart raised upwards and outwards, your hands comfortably in your lap. Just allowing a gentle smile to emerge on your face, as we take a moment to enjoy the stability of our posture. And then expanding that spotlight of awareness to the rest of your body, noticing where you feel warm or cold. Noticing where you feel tense or relaxed. Becoming aware of the sensation of the clothes against your skin. And the points of contact between your body and the chair and the floor. Shifting your awareness to your thoughts and feelings. And as we go through the guided meditation, just noticing each thought as it arises. And that might be an anxious thought about tomorrow. It could be a happy thought about today. Or a sad thought about yesterday. Just noticing each thought as it arises, allowing it to leave, and gently, and without judgment, bringing your attention back to your breath. And finally, focusing your awareness in the breath, noticing that column of air between your nose and your diaphragm. Noticing how the air feels cooler on the way in, warmer on the way out. Breathing in, I know I am breathing in. Breathing out, I know I am breathing out. In, out. Breathing in, I am aware of the state of my mind. Breathing out, I smile to the state of my mind. Aware of mind, smiling. Breathing in, I see my mind's problem-solving nature. Breathing out, I smile to my mind's problem-solving nature. Mind's nature, smiling. breathing in, I know that I am not my mind. Breathing out, I calm my mind. Not my mind, calming. Breathing in, I realize thoughts are only events in my mind. Breathing out, I smile to my thoughts. Thoughts are events. Smiling. Breathing in, I see the impermanent nature of my mind. Breathing out, I allow my mind to settle. Impermanent nature of mind, settling. breathing in. I see the object of my rumination. Breathing out, I smile to the object of my rumination. Object of rumination, smiling. Breathing in, I see the impermanent nature of the object of my rumination. Breathing out, I smile to the impermanent nature of the object of my rumination. Impermanent nature, smiling. Breathing in, I establish myself in the present moment. Breathing out, I realize it is a wonderful moment. Present moment, wonderful moment. As we reach the end of the guided meditation, just taking a moment or two to notice any changes. Firstly, in your body, any areas of relaxation, any areas of tension, discomfort, and just taking a moment to stretch, give the body what it needs. Noticing any changes in your mind. And if you feel a sense of calm or peace, then I would invite you to carry that through the rest of your day. And finally, opening your eyes and returning your awareness to the room that you're in. And your mindfulness homework for this week is to notice when you're ruminating and don't beat yourself up. Instead, just take a step back and smile to your mind for trying to help. Notice what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and any beliefs that you can surface. And I would also invite you to write down the object of your rumination, write about its impermanent nature, your attachment to the object, and the origin of your attachment back in your past. And may you be happy, may you be peaceful, and may you see yourself through the eyes of understanding and compassion. Slana will you, and I'll see you next time.
Cause I've